this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
It's good to be here with you again this evening, and I'm trusting God that everything will go fine, that God will grant me grace not to rush and miss out anything that is meant for you here this evening. It's been a very busy day for me and a very, very busy week indeed. But I believe that God is in the house this evening, and every one of us, we're going to be blessed in Jesus' name. Please can we pray together? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for who you are, for what you are. We appreciate you because you are great in our lives. The Bible says you made us male and female. And the Bible says concerning us that you said none of us will want his or her mate. Father, we want to go into your word this evening, looking at how to make choices, looking at how to choose. Father, I pray that you will speak to us this evening in Jesus' name. I pray that, Lord, you will help us. Pray that you will open our eyes. I pray that, Lord, you will convince us yourself. Thank you, our God and our Father. Thank you for giving us light and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was given the topic, don't marry this kind, Abby. Huh? Never marry this kind. So we're going to be talking about the kind that you must not marry. Abby? The kind you must not marry. So as we talk about that, let's start from what marriage is. What is marriage? Let's start from there. I know that each and every one of you will be able to answer me what marriage is. You don't know what it is. It's a unit from which every one of us come out from. Abby? Uh-huh. But let's look at it the Bible way. What is marriage the Bible way? The Bible in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the belt must be kept undefiled. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the belt undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see that part B. We'll look at it, but it's not our main focus today. Our main focus today is that part A that says that marriage is honorable in all. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Full stop. That's what's going to be our focus this evening. So, if marriage is honorable in all, and we know and understand in the society that marriage is the union of two people who have the mind to live together for the rest of their lives, it's a forever thing. A forever thing. To live together for the rest of their life. So it's a forever thing. We live together forever. The moment we sign the dotted lines, I say I do, you say I do, it becomes a forever thing, a permanent contract that we have signed, and we live together forever. Okay? So, and I said that these two people are people that are ready to face the odds together, to share the joy and the pains of life together. Because life is all about ups and downs. There are two people that are ready to share the joy and pains of life together. They are ready to remain faithful to one another forever. And I say the forever aspect of marriage mandates everyone, therefore, to look very well before you leave. That forever aspect of marriage is why we are here this evening. And why we are discussing this. The forever aspect of marriage. It mandates you and I to look very well before we leave. It mandates us to be sure that the person that we are about to sign the dotted lines with, we are ready to go through the pain and the joys of life together with that person. Because once the dotted line is signed, you are in for it. Now, Jesus says to us in Luke 14, 28 to 30, still talking about this consideration of the person that I want to say I do to, the person that I want to sign the dotted lines with, this forever aspect. Still considering it. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 14, 28 to 30. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish." He began to build, but was not able to finish. Why? Because he did not sit down to count the cost. He's not building a bungalow. He wants to build a tower. He's not building just an ordinary building. The Bible says he wants to build a tower. So it means a man that wants to build a tower must be a man that will think very well and think very deep. And you know, the foundation of a bungalow is different from the foundation of a tower. In fact, the money you spend building the foundation for a tower, you are finished building a bungalow. And that is the main reason why you must sit down and count the cost very well and be sure that this building that I want to start, will I be able to finish it? Will I be able to build it and complete it and move in and make good use of it? Because you see, when you build a tower, you move into your tower. You go to the last floor of your tower and you are at the cynosure of all eyes. Everybody is seeing you. You feel on top of the mountain. You are looking at everybody. You are feeling cool. And everybody is looking at your tower. Like Yoruba people say, Ilia Awushifila. They want to look at your tower. They have to look up like this and they feel like it's going off. It's because it's not a small thing. It's not a joke. And that is exactly what marriage is. Marriage is not a small thing. It's not a joke. It's not because I come from a family. And it can't be me. It may not be me. No, it's not just because of that. It's because I want to make a home. I want to have a happy home. And I want to bring about another generation, another dynasty. That's what marriage is all about. And it's about a forever thing. It's a forever thing. Let me put it that way. So I say that a man or woman that miss it in marriage, we end up being mocked. That's what the Bible says. It says they will mock him because he couldn't finish it. So any man that fail in marriage, any man that miss it in marriage will be mocked. But that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So to avoid being mocked, you do your homework very well. You sit down, you count the cost before you say, I do. No matter how beautiful she is, no matter how handsome he is, looking at him, I'm swept off my feet. Looking at him, oh, all the girls, all the ladies in town are just dying for him. We need to count the cost very well before you say, I do. And I said, okay, now, in this meeting, we are here to look at the kind that we should not marry, Abby. And I just said it, that we need to count the cost and be sure if we are able or we are not able. And that talks about the kind we shouldn't marry. So in talking about the kind that we should not marry, the first one that I would like to talk about is that the first kind that you must not marry is the kind that is not your kind. That's the first one that you must not marry. The kind that is not your kind. So for us to know the kind that is not our kind, then I must know my own kind, Abby. And I know me, right? I can talk about me, right? I know what I stand for. I know what my life is all about. And I even know where I have my identity. You know, every one of us, we have identity in life. And I know where my identity is. I know where I have my identity. I know my kind. I know what my kind is. And for us to be able to dissect and be able to say, hey, this is my own kind. I would like us to go together to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read verses 14 to 18. Talking about your kind. Talking about my kind. In fact, talking about the kind that I expect to see sitting here this evening. The kind that will say, I'm a Christian. I know God. I'm a child of God. Let's talk about that kind. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's a kind. The Bible is asking you to come out from among a kind. The Bible has been talking about a kind from that verse 14 that we started from. Now let's look at the rest. It says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The last verse. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I know this is that scripture that we use a lot of times to preach Christ to people and to tell people when they are born again that you need to keep your consecration, you need to keep yourself as a Christian, you need to keep holding on, you need to be in righteousness and on and on and on. But you see, the Holy Spirit will want us to look at this scripture as we look at marriage and as we look at our kind in marriage. You see, reading that scripture, I saw some things about marriage there. And that was why I totally agree that yes, that's the scripture that we're going to use to talk about our kind. If I want to use some other scripture, I will start talking about for as many that receive him, they are the sons of God. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But let's look at it this way, from this scripture. Now, looking at that scripture that we just read, there are some things that I noticed there about marriage. The first one is that marriage is a yoke. Marriage is a yoke. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. Marriage is a yoke. But you see, that yoke is made easy in Christ. You remember what he said? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you are going to be picking a kind that is in Christ, the yoke of marriage will be easy. Let's continue. Another thing I noticed about marriage is that marriage is a fellowship. Marriage is a fellowship. Another one is that it is an agreement. And most of the time when we are conducting wedding, we read the exhortation charge and we say that marriage is a legal contract and a spiritual contract as well. Marriage is an agreement. An agreement between two people. A legal contract, when the registry comes in. A spiritual contract, when the two becomes one. We will look at that if we have the opportunity to this evening. And then another point is that marriage makes you a part. It says, what part? There's a place there that talks about the part. Yeah, he says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Marriage makes you a part in it. Now, another thing is that marriage is a communion. Communion of two people, two hearts that are joined together as one. And marriage is a work and a work. It is a work. And a work. And God that instituted marriage, in that passage that we read in verse 18, he said, and I will be their God. I will be their father. And they will be my sons and daughters. And I will walk with them. Okay, I think it was in verse 17 that he said that we walk with them. Verse 17. I think that, yeah. Is it 17? Let's see 16. 16? Okay, yeah, 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a place where God dwells. That's another one that I didn't pick. He said, I will dwell in them. Then he said, I will walk in them. And the people that are in that marriage will walk to make that marriage to work. Marriage is a work. Now, I said there that what your spirit is made of is very important in marriage. Look at those questions that we were being asked. What concord hath Christ with Belial? We are talking about your kind. Your kind is the kind that we find in Christ Jesus. Abby? So, what concord does Christ have with Belial? Your kind is in Christ. And your kind that is in Christ is a kind that must be spiritual. A kind that must be righteous. Now look at this. It says, who you are spiritually matters a lot in marriage. Why? Because marriage is a communion. Marriage is a communion. It's a coming together of two people. Coming together of two people. For as long as you are in courtship, because you are a Christian, you won't have sex, Abby. So there's no communion. But the moment you enter into marriage, I beg, communion will come. And when the communion comes, you know each other beyond the physical appearance. You have a carnal knowledge of each other. And then there's a fusion of your spirit, and a fusion of your body, and a fusion of your soul. And that is why the Bible says in that Hebrews 13:4 that marriage is honorable. You know, everybody should have the honor of being in marriage. But make sure that you don't practice the acts of marriage outside of marriage. And that was why it was giving us that warning. He said, "One man just." He said, "The bed must remain undefiled." That is telling us you don't practice the acts of marriage outside of marriage. And then he says, whoever do that, such persons will be judged by God. But we are not going into that this evening. But what we are actually looking at from this particular place is that your kind, which is in Christ, is what you should marry. Marry your kind. You know, I said, the first kind that you must not marry is the kind that is not your kind. So if you are not going to marry the kind that is not your kind, then you marry your kind. And we just look at your kind now. Your kind is in Christ. And that your kind that is in Christ makes you a child of God. And because you are a child of God, brother, sister, please don't marry an infidel. Because the Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? It says, what agreement do you, a child of God, want to have with an infidel? So that is the first kind that you must not marry. And look at that verse 18. Verse 18 says that when you marry your kind, God is the father of both of you. He says, for you shall be my sons and my daughters. And he said, and I will be with them, says the Lord God Almighty. So when you marry your kind that is in Christ Jesus, you know for sure that your father-in-law is God. Abi? Because God is the father of the woman and God is the father of the man. So the two of us, we have just one father-in-law, and father-in-law is God. And we are sure that God will take good care of us and take good care of the marriage. You know, some time ago, my nephews and nieces, they came to me and they were asking me the same thing that brother said when he was about to call me up. He said some people miss it in marriage because they come from dysfunctional home. And my junior ones, nieces and nephews, they came to me and they asked me, they say, auntie, why is it that people that come out of dysfunctional home are also marrying people that come out of dysfunctional home? That is there a pull? Is there an attraction? And I see them there and I said, come. If you see the people that come from a dysfunctional home are being attracted to people from such home also, So our next step, you will be right if those people are not in Christ. Are you with me? If they are not in Christ, if they are not the kind that is in Christ, you are right. But if they are the kind that is in Christ, look at what that scripture says, that verse 18. God says, they will be my sons and daughters, and I will be their God. So it means that even if you have come from a dysfunctional home, when you are in Christ Jesus, and you marry your kind in Christ, your home should be happy. Your home should be successful. Your home should not suffer what your father and mother suffered. It shouldn't be. Because now, your father is God. It's not Mr. Q. It's not Mr. X that had a dysfunctional home. And now that you have another father, which is God, and that lady too has the father called God, then that home, which is your own home, must be successful. It must not have any trait of that home where you are coming from. Because something has happened to you that has differentiated you from that home. You no longer carry the DNA of that dysfunctional home. You carry the DNA of Christ. And that is why, before we go on this evening, I'd like to let you know that if you are in church, you are not saved. You are not a kind in Christ. I beg you, before you marry, be a kind in Christ. Surrender to Jesus. Give your life to Him. Let Him save you. Be saved properly. Be saved genuinely. Because when you are saved properly, you are saved genuinely. You release yourself to the Holy Spirit. Easily you will be molded by God. There is nobody that is perfect. But you see, with the Spirit of God in us, we get better day by day. So you need to be saved, properly saved. If you are not saved, please give your life to Christ and be saved. Don't be like those people that will come inside church to come and look for the kind that is in Christ. When I said marry your kind, they're supposed to marry their kind outside. But they will come inside church to come and look for the kind that is in Christ to marry. To come and give her problem, give her trouble. But you see the kind that is in church that will fall in their hands too. I wonder for her. I wonder for him. It must be that he's the kind that is sleeping. The kind that is not alive. This kind that is not awake in Christ Jesus. It's that kind that will fall in their hands. That reminds me of a story that Mommy Gio told us. He said a guy came inside church to come and marry. Omalayeni, he runs in town. He now came to the church to come and look for a wife. He didn't want to marry his kind. When I said marry your kind, for them outside they should marry their kind. For those of you inside, you should marry your kind. So you look out for your kind and marry your kind. This guy did not want to marry his kind. He came to church looking for the kind that is in Christ Jesus to marry. And then he was lucky, very fortunate, got a very beautiful sister, wonderful sister, daughter of Zion, and they married. And after the reception and everything, the night of the wedding, by the time they got to where they're going to stay, the sister opened the fridge and saw Hennequins, all manners of beer, saw it in the fridge. Cool, no problem. She just closed, went to the bar, picked a cup, and then went to her room, checked in her box, and picked a pack, and came out with her pack. Picked the bottle from the fridge, very chill. Picked the bottle that is chill and sweating like me now, and sat down, balanced with it, and was taking beer. And the guy came and said, Omosini. And the sister said, who put them there? Who put the beer there? Is it not you that put them there? He said, Morope Christian, yeah, ni. Let me not rope Christian, yeah. You know, he came to look for his kind in church, and he came to look for another kind to marry. But because God said, marry your kind, God helped them and arranged them. They are the same kind now. Hook them together. The sister, that was the pack that she brought and put on the table. So the brother looked and said, Mogbe, Moshimu. And the guy said, you came to church to marry now. You find me in church. Me too, I came to church to marry. I find you. We find each other, we hook. So let me give you your money. If you are from outside, you came to church to come and look for the one that is not your kind, you will miss your kind. Because in this place, we talk about you marrying your kind. Whether you like it or not, it's your kind you will marry. My sister, you won't miss it. My brother, you won't miss it. But if you are here, you have not given your life to Christ. I beg, give your life to Christ now. So that you will end up marrying the kind that is in Christ. And not that kind that you are running away from. So come and look for the kind in Christ. Let's go on. So what other kind is it that you must not marry? Okay, before we go on talking about the other kinds that you must not marry, I said this. I said that all these other kinds that we're going to be talking about that you must not marry, that sincerely, you can also find them in Christ. You can find them in the church rather. The other kinds we're going to be talking about now, you can find them in church. And because you can find them in church, that is why this evening, I don't just want you to be looking at it as the kind that I must not marry. But as we are discussing and looking at these different kinds, also travel downward. Put the searchlight on yourself and see if you yourself, you are not the kind we are talking about. And peradventure, you will find out that there are traits of those kinds in you. Or you actually concluded that I am the kind they are talking about. Please change. Because there is room for improvement. There is room for changes. When we are in Christ, we get better every day. Christ, the Apostle Paul, he said, my children, whom I travail until Christ be formed in them. When you are in Christ, you are saved. On a daily basis, you are made better. So, we travel in the place of prayer and the place of the word of God until Christ be formed in us. And I believe that Christ will be formed in every one of us. And our kind will be the kind that is in Christ. So let's go looking at those other kinds that you must not marry. The next one is the angry kind. Don't marry the angry kind. I'll give you two scriptures. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. And 1 Corinthians 15, 33, we compare the two. Proverbs 22:24-25. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. 25. Lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. Please, don't marry the angry kind. If you marry the angry kind, that's what will happen. You will get snare. You will learn his way, rather. You will learn his way. If you marry the angry kind, you will learn his way. And when you, it says, the message says, bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. That's the main reason why you must not marry an angry man. Don't say that, hey, me, I'm changed too. I'm cool. Easy going. Don't say that, hey, I can marry a girl that is the angry type. I'm a very cool guy. Easy going. I can manage her. I manage people a lot. I understand temperaments. I can manage it. The Bible says it's contagious. Bad temper. Very, very contagious. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. And then I will say some things and we'll leave the place. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you marry the angry kind, the Bible says their temper is contagious. And here again, another scripture says, evil communication corrupts good manners. So if you marry the angry kind, be ready that one contaminated. You also get contaminated. You will one day become like them. You can't cope in a marriage with an angry kind, I tell you. One day, a sister wanted to marry. Another sister in the church came and told me, and said, hey, Esimima, this sister, has she come to the marriage committee? I said, yes, she has come. What is your own? Anything wrong? He said, that brother that she wants to marry, very angry, very angry. Please, encourage her, tell her not to marry. I said, Kilode, am I the one that will tell her not to marry? No, that our work is to help them to see themselves very well. You see, love always blinds fold people. And marriage will open it. But you see, before you get into marriage, the marriage committee have the duty to open your eyes and let you see that this thing, don't be blind though. This thing. I said, they've been to marriage committee. Thank you. So I sent her away because she's not the person to discuss with. I called the sister. I said, sister, come. You remember the time you came for counseling at the marriage committee? We asked the two of you, what is it that you have observed in this man, in this woman, that you feel he needs to change? God should help him about. And you said, this brother is always very angry. And we asked you, will you be able to manage it? Or careful in time, see? Because time do ill. Time. With time, things can get better. I'll be careful in time, see? Keep brother here if he change. That's why I love those old Christians. In the days when we were growing up, in CU, they would say, Chechi Jari, hey, Tija, Emma, Louis, you ready for marriage? Ekokoloja, Keja, Keparija, Intervalle, Pari on your own. Then come back, we'll talk marriage. Yeah, that's the way they handle it. So, we Anna called the sister. I said, so, do you need time? So that we can pray along with you and this brother, because Otido lo fefe any which way. That's the person you want. And the brother too was forming and was like, my change, mutin change, dear. About 3 months after, I called the sister again and I asked her, I said, any improvement? Say, it's getting better. So they tied the knot and they married. And 3 months into the marriage, sister Lakoko Jirin Lewalaro. Ah, Kilo Shele. Hey, this brother is this. This brother is that. But you rebecca the left to fair now. You it was very clear to you that he's a very angry man. And you said you'll be able to manage him. Belema Binu Malole. I'll speak with him in the evening. So she had to go back home. And the brother was like that, until one day that even me myself got angry with him. And I said, today, this one that you have done this day, that very day, what did he do? He poured soup on the sister. Poured soup on her. I was the one that helped her to lose the ribbon. And I said, today, marriage, only comma. It has comma from today. Brother, my lolly, my wabi, don't come to this place. Just go to your house. Go to your house. And we sent him away. And the sister too, she wise up. She decided to go and stay with her pastor. You know, she was not a member of Lighthouse. So she went and stayed with her pastor. You know, the sister that came to tell me before was thinking that maybe because she was not a member of Lighthouse, so we need to let her know that this brother, Tofefe, Omabinu, even though he's born again, Omabinu, go. So the sister went to stay with her pastor. And for like 3 or 4 months, she was not at home. Brother Dawa. So, but Dawa Turi Ayebo Sheri Pe, Mumatin failed any marriage. For a new change. So, what he changed in Fiadu Pe for long. Evan Patewa from Jesu from Brother. God is good in his life. It's better now. But you see, the story might not go the same way with every other person. But even before he gets to that point when the brother changed, look at the agony the sister had went through. Look at the trauma she has gone through. A lot of times she would have been like, marriage is a hell. Like that brother said, that his, some of his friends would say, I wish I didn't marry her. I wish I didn't marry him. That will not be your portion. So, don't go with an angry man. That's the first one. The second one is the abusive one. The abusive one. It could be a man, it could be a woman. Don't go with the abusive one. Now, to be abusive means to be using harsh and insulting language. To be abusive means to involve physical violence or to be emotionally cruel. To be abusive means to be characterized with I can't see what I wrote down again. I need my glasses. I need to double my. Please, can somebody help me get my glasses? I can't see what I wrote down again. Okay, but let's look at the first two that says to use harsh and insultive language, or to involve physical violence or emotional cruelty. I said there that a man or woman that is abusive, that is abusing your purpose in friendship relationship, will abuse you also in marriage. If a man is abusing your purpose in a friendship relationship, he will abuse you in life, in marriage too. Now, we look at three different meaning of the word abusive. The first one is to use harsh or insulting language. So a man or a woman that is using harsh or insulting language at you in a courtship or in a friendship relationship, we do exactly the same in marriage, so don't go with him or her. Now, the second one says to involve physical violence or emotional cruelty. A man that any small thing, pah, otibai. A woman that any small thing, pah, otibai. She will repeat it in marriage. Any little thing, any small thing, otemole, pah, say, take care, easy now. It's not intentional. It's just by me saying, ah, bele, ma binu, oda kwa me kon yanyi. Am I sure what to yanyi? Because bo she ya in friendship, to she ya in courtship, men no no she ma ya in marriage. Any small thing that you are discussing now, the next thing is pa. What is doing by you? The next thing, what is the yimwe? You don't know. A woman that is abusive, you find that any little thing like this, she will start giving you some emotional palaver. Any little thing, what in sunkun, what in ke, any little thing, you are in trouble. And if it's the other way around, the man, you see the man all the time. Very abusive, very cruel against the woman. Abusive to the extent that in public, oh my abuse, oh my sorosini, ako sorosini yamayama, in public, no respect for her. Please, don't go with such. You will see them, they will display it in relationship, in friendship, they will display it. And the moment you see them displaying it in friendship, know for sure that they will repeat it in marriage. If anyone, oh my room, because I can't take law, can't take law, it takes grace. So please, don't go with the abusive one. Now look at what the Bible says about. I said, don't go with the abusive man. A man that abuse your purpose in friendship or relationship will abuse your purpose in marriage. Now, how do I mean? We are just friends. And all the time, because I'm your friend and I have money, all the time we'll take tithing. Grace pay. It is grace that must pay all the time, because grace, our father is rich. That guy is abusing you. Why can't he think of paying once in a while? He feels. Shebi, you have the money now. Someone now. Or a guy that, because you are in friendship, you are in a relationship together, you come around to say hello to him. The next thing, what you call friend, nobody jalora come back over say unje. No, some of them are like that now. Nobody jalora unje wa, and then you go, you come, you are the one cooking. If it's abusing you, abusing your purpose, because it seals you that you are a girl now, maybe the purpose of a girl is to cook, to wash dress, to service the man. And it's abusing you right now in relationship. It will abuse you in marriage too. It will abuse you. It will let you know that is your work as a woman. You take care of it, you do everything. I shouldn't be bothered about it. It will cross his leg. You both return from church, Neo. Tired and everything, he crossed his leg and it will be ordering you about and be asking for his food, asking for everything, abusing you. Mm-mm. If you see that he's abusing you right now in relationship, please don't go with him, because he will definitely abuse you in marriage too. And if, because she feels, all the time he's asking you for money in relationship now, know for sure he will abuse you when you get to marriage too. Because to be abusive in marriage is not only because you go violent, you are beating. If you abuse his pocket too, some women are abusive of the man's financial capability. They abuse his pocket. They keep their own money, and it's only the man's money that they are spending and spending. And they will come with all manners of ashoke, ashoke, be ashoke, this, ashoke, that, my family, my brother, my sister, everything. The moment you see such traits in relationship, please run. Don't marry that kind. The next kind that you must not marry is the kind that is unstable. The unstable kind. Don't marry the unstable kind. When we say unstable, it means not steady in action or movement, wavering in purpose or intent, lacking steadiness, apt to move, sway, or fall, liable to alteration. And it means to be characterized by lack of emotional control. And I said that such people that are characterized by lack of emotional control, whether as a man or as a woman, they are the type that you will see that their handshake goes beyond the wrist. Their heart is by their sleeves. And when you shake their hand, you have taken their heart away. They lack emotional control. They sway easily. They fall easily. They go away with anything that comes their way. The unstable one. Look at this scripture for the unstable one. Genesis 49:4. James 1:8. 2 Peter 2:14. Media, can we have Genesis 49:4? Look at what the Bible says about the unstable. About a man that was unstable. Reuben. It says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Reuben was a very unstable man. Unstable in his relationship. That was why he could go and defile his father's bed. Of course, he has his own girlfriend, whatever. But he was very unstable, and then he went to his father's couch to defile it. Very, very unstable. When you see an unstable man, you will see him in the church. He's a Christian, he's a brother, but he's dating A, B, C, D sisters. And he will be telling you that those sisters just like flocking around me. If the sister just like you and they are just flocking around you, and it is just being brotherly to them, no problem. I don't have any problem with that. You are just friends, Abby. But the moment you start dating 2-3 sisters, one in Lighthouse, another one in Redeem, another one in Deeper Life, which one do you want to marry? And you say you are a Christian, you say you are a child of God. That's your kind. We must beware of it. Unstable. As he affects the man, so also does he affect the woman. Some ladies are also very, very unstable. You see them, they are with brother A, they are with brother B, they are with brother C. In fact, some time ago, I think when I was in school, we picked on a girl in our room one day. And we, all of us, all the girls in the room, we just picked on her. We were like, kick on the problem, Because we could count on our fingers the people coming to look for her. She's a sister. The people coming to look for her, about 7 of them. Kini problem is this? And we had to tell her that, look, you are very unstable. And because you are unstable, you will not excel. Because each and every one of these brothers will see you, they will look at you, and each one will realize that, Morik Pelu brother C, Morik Pelu brother Q, Morik Pelu brother H. And at the end of the day, each one of them will drop you. They will all dump you. And you will be left alone without anything at the end of the day. And one of us was like, can't you see Mary? Mary is the wife of Joseph. The day she came home and said she was pregnant, Joseph did not think twice. He was not thinking about brother Peter that I saw you with yesterday. He wasn't thinking about brother Peter that he saw her with yesterday. Because he knows that to be a very stable lady, He was just disturbed that mama be to see you. Who they are feel like jeje, and he went away. The Bible says he didn't even want to he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he just left her gently and went away because to him it's very confusing. This is Mary. Me Derek Belokun in the umbulu to waru you. But if it is you, this is our friend, go right Joseph Tilo. Because even we in this room, we can tell that Brother James was there yesterday and Brother. So don't marry the one that is unstable. The one that is unstable will not excel. And if you are unstable, please stop it. Because the one that is unstable will not excel. A man that is unstable will end up having a relationship in marriage. He will have extramarital affairs. He will have affairs with people. He will have affairs outside your marriage. And that is what will kill the marriage. If it's a she too, that is unstable, she will have affairs outside the marriage. She will say, they are pressurizing me enough, it's me. It is because from the onset, she is very unstable. So with a little pressure, she break. Don't marry the one that is unstable. Let's look at another type that you must not marry. Another kind that you must not marry is the kind that is a fool. You don't marry a fool. Don't marry a fool. Now, a fool is a person that is lacking in judgment or prudence. A fool is somebody that despises knowledge, that despises wisdom, that despises understanding. A fool is somebody that meddle, tamper, or experiment, especially thoughtlessly or ignorantly. And I have a very good example of that in the man called Nabal. We all read the story of Nabal in 1 Samuel, right? That man, Nabal, was a big fool. He was a man that meddled with a business that does not concern him. You can imagine, David sent to him and said, give to me and my boys. He said, who are you? There are many servants nowadays that run away from their bosses. And you now want me to give my dainty to you. Say Lila. Kilo kope lu business Saul at David. What is his own in it? Is he the one to judge between them? That is what a fool does. And the wife said it at the end of the day. He said, don't mind him, he's a fool. As his name is, so is he. He intermeddled in another man's business. He gets involved in it thoughtlessly. He didn't even think, he didn't sit down to think very well that at least this David had been there taking care of my men and my estates and my things. Fool, they lack understanding. They lack good judgment. The moment you see a man or a woman that lack good judgment, that lack understanding, please don't go with them. Let's see some scriptures about a fool. Proverbs 1:7. Don't go with a fool, so that you don't get afflicted with the fool. If you want life in your marriage, don't go with a fool. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A man that despises wisdom and instruction is a fool. A man that hears in church that don't do this, don't do that, and is telling you, let's do it. What do you know that those pastors are doing? Do you know what they are doing? Do you know whether they two are doing it? A fool is that man that will ask you for sex when you are a child of God and the Bible says, don't do it. A fool will tell you and say, do it. There's nothing wrong in it. So the moment he comes like that, making such requests, know for sure that it's a fool and run away from it. A fool is a man that you must not go with. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 107:17 about a fool. Psalm 107:17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. If you don't want your marriage to be afflicted, don't marry a fool. If you do, your marriage will be afflicted. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how smart you are, if you marry a fool, if you marry a fool, whether as a man or as a woman, I tell you, you will be afflicted alongside her. Because so madano walati ta dawa be volumadasilon. And when people look at him sometimes and you are like, ah, o se wa lack understanding buruku bayi. Awon gbogbo lo fe na. O ti ko bawo na. Don't get afflicted with him. So, don't go with a fool. Another one that you must not go with is the one that nags. The one that nags. They are close to the one that are abusive. But you see, to nag is different from being abusive. Now, look at it this way. To nag means to irritate by constant scolding. To scold somebody constantly and irritate the person. To find fault incessantly. Or to be a persistent source of annoyance or distraction. That is what it means to nag. And you see, nagging is in both the male and the female. So, don't marry the one that nags. The next one I will talk about is the NFA, no future ambition. Don't marry an NFA. Never marry an NFA. Never go with an NFA. That kind is a very terrible kind. You ask him, what are you doing? You see, I'm still working on this. You see, actually, you see, my brother in the U.S. is sending me money so that I can pursue my visa. I'm still working on it. And I'm very sure that this year is going to work out. It's going to work out. Ask him his age. He's 32. He's still trying to work out visa. It's a no future ambition. Con ambition. Emma Barney. Don't go with him. The Bible says he's worse than an infidel. If a Nigerian man at the age of 32 does not know what to do to make money, at the age of 32, a man in this nation, Nigeria, he does not know what to do to make money. He's still carrying his certificate about. And you now see job somewhere, and you now call him and say, hey, my friend, please, I saw this advert, this vacancy somewhere, blah, 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 blah. Could you put in for it? And he's putting in, he's putting in, he's putting in. His own entry did not get uploaded. Everything that he should upload to make the entry did not upload until the submission closes. The days of entries elapsed. And then the story is, hey, you see, hey, I need more documents, more, and this, this, and that, that. In fact, I had problem with subscription, and this, and that. He will give you all manners of excuses why he couldn't make it to get to submit his own application. It's a no future ambition. He does not know what to do. He's not going anywhere. And because he's not going anywhere, please don't go with him. As it is with the man, so it is with the woman. What did you study in school? Accountancy. So that means you want to work out. No, I'm not working. I want to do business. I cannot go and be doing yes sir, yes sir anyway. How old is she? That she cannot go and be doing yes sir. Okay, you do business. We'll set you up. So what type of business exactly do you want to do? And you see, I saw a friend of mine that's going to Cotonou. Maybe I'll start going with her to Cotonou. Okay. And after a month, you ask her, so what about that business you discussed about your friend going to Cotonou? Hey, you see, I even saw another one that is going to Aba. I think maybe the one that is going to Aba will be better. Because you know there's COVID now and borders have been closed. And so let me start going to Aba. I will start bringing stuff from Aba. And stuff moves a lot among ladies. So I will sell. And the next 3 months, once you run Aba, one ticket in a piece, I'll be mass transit. One the ticket, one bambe. One riot travel, one relation kakan. No future ambition. They are not going anywhere. Don't go with such. Look at what the Bible says about such people. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And you remember we talked about the infidel, the scripture where we started from. And the Bible says, what is your business with an infidel? So, if the kind that is coming around you, that is even in the church, is the kind that will not work with his hand, that will not work with her hand, please don't go with that kind. Because the Bible says that kind is worse than an infidel. So, another kind you must not go with, mommy's pet or daddy's pet. Don't go with mommy's pet. Don't go with that despair. Every little thing. My mommy says, first thing in the morning, it is mommy. Last thing at night, it is mommy. First thing in the morning, it is daddy. Last thing at night, it is daddy. In fact, I remember there was one particular couple that somebody reported to me and said that on their wedding night, the father called. That he felt, okay, maybe because for the first time, he released his girl and is missing her. But along the line, the guy realized that he married the daddy's pet. Because every little thing that happened in that house, daddy did go. The next thing, daddy will make by a go. And we start telling you, I don't treat my daughter like that. I don't treat my daughter like that. This, that. Hey, Jotro, alone, daddy, I'm more easily now. But you see, you have made the mistake you have picked on now. So, I told you, I'm on daddy. But if you don't want daddy to disturb you, don't marry daddy's pet. And if you don't want mommy to disturb you, don't marry mommy's pet. In fact, mommy hello worst to you. Because you see daddy, and daddy, as a man, you can go to daddy and talk to daddy, and somehow in a way, there's a way you men talk and you understand each other. Without talking too much, the guy knows that, okay, oh, motin koja boundary need you, and he will withdraw. But you see, for the woman, that was what one sister told me. It's our friend. They already did introduction. Wedding date, what's he pick? I think do not see the wedding. The next thing we can repay our mobile, sis, bony, wedding. When are we coming? How are we doing it? He said, Stanike, you don't know. That guy is mommy's pet. I said, mommy's pet, what do you mean? He said, to back on say, Jack, pay mommy's pet. He pay, but when continue and fell, look on, she only bad da. Only but this one, the mother is so courtic again. And the mother called me and said, she will look fed, but more, no, love, why not? Ah, she said, mother, so fun, woman, mother, pay. I called the brother, I sat him down, I said, bro, your mommy said, oh, my, no, ni. And that your mommy's pet, and that's mufe bomo no no no. So please, brother, I want you to choose one between me and your mother today. I say, hey, oh, so bang, yeah. She said, yes, I said it. Because I need to take this decision. And I need to carry him along. Because if I'm going to enjoy this marriage, then he must not be a mommy's pet. He must be able to put the mother at her place and let her know that now I have a new mother, I have a wife, and be able to let the mother know her boundary. So I need to sit him down and discuss with him. I say, hey, so kilo wa so? O kon wo mi no ni ko ti ri nkan kan so. Ah, mo lo kon wo e ko ri nkan so kilo de. Ah, ni e wo stani ke oro ti eyan o kuro loju lasan. And sincerely, that was the end of it. Because when the sister says, mi o se mo, the brother did not come back to say, Joshi. Because omo na ni, ko gbodo gbo omo na lowo na, the woman. That was the end of the marriage, of the relationship, and there was no marriage again. So the sister had to go and marry another person. And then, boya brother, yeah, boya, mommy, I get to release her for me. Oh, boya, ori ina biti tiye. To magbalo we. So, but for us, please don't marry a mommy's pet. Don't marry a daddy's pet. Let's look at the scripture for that in Psalm 45 verse 10. We also have a scripture, we also have Genesis 2:24 and Matthew 19:5 for that. Let's take Psalm 45:10 first. It says, hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. That is it. The moment you are marrying, you forget your father's house, forget your people. Stay put with this man that you have come to marry now. And face him. And stop calling no. Reporting everything that happened in your house to your father, to your mother. That's what the Bible says. So, if in relationship, she does not know how to hold the two of you together, and for the two of you to be able to undo your issue between the two of you, she won't be able to do so in marriage. I can remember one time then, we were still living at Siriakari, and it was in my relationship. So that means it must be within the first few years of the relationship. We started in 1990, so it must be between 1990 and 1992 that this thing happened. We had issues, and I can't remember what was the issue. Ashambarawaja, and it was serious. And it was so serious that my mother-in-law, my fiance's mom, she noticed that Ambarawaja. Why? Because if I tell my friends that I'm coming to see him, Nika is coming. But this very day, I told him that I was coming. And he knew 15 minutes to the time that I will come. He left the house. And he told his mom, So when I came and I asked, and the mom said, then I sat down for like 5 minutes, was not back. And you know, normally, if I tell him that I'm coming, oh Lord, because I joke was late minute. And if for any reason he stepped out, within few minutes he's back, because he knows I'm around. So I sat and he didn't show up. For about 10 minutes, I was just there reading things. And then the mother, she summoned up the courage. And then she came. And she said that, she caused the problem. Because, yemi kan de de jade, kode tuti de la te kan, o de njo kode, abi she wa ma lole, abi, wantou mo koto maso di nesting. E so fun mi she enjani. Muni mo mi aja ko si problem. And sincerely aja ko si problem. As far as I'm concerned, ko si problem aja. Because I have come to understand it that I don't discuss my relationship with family members. If you come to my class, marriage counseling, I will tell you, you don't discuss your relationship with family members. Your relationship is between you, that guy, and God. If anybody will come in to be a third party in it, your pastor. Your pastor, because your pastor is a neutral person. Your pastor, because your pastor has a duty and is watching for your soul. That's what the Bible says. So he has his own reports to make to God of his contribution in that your relationship or in that your marriage. So I just told mommy, what's the problem? And so that want me wa first last but I'll be me again or something like that. What's the problem? Do you know that since I got married, this scripture stayed with me. Since I got married, I never stayed a night in my father's house. I never stayed a night. My father's house is on Road D, House 5, Olubadan Estate. I have the keys to the house with me. I never sleep there for one night. Why? Because of this scripture. I just told myself, okay, you are married. And the Bible says, forget your father's house. Your mother's house. Yeah? And one of my own ways of forgetting it is to make sure that I don't stay the night there. Even when my father was going to be buried. No, there was a time we had his birthday. And I was there till 11 p.m. And Allah gave me, And my husband was fighting. I was like, can't you stay at home? Can't you stay in that place? Blah, 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 blah. I said, I have this consecration for my marriage not to stay there again. I'm no longer there. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis. Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's not the man alone, the woman too. You are not wife, you are the mommy and sile, and cleave to the man. So, if you notice that, if you mommy and daddy, don't marry that kind. The kind that is mommy's pet, the kind that is daddy's pet, don't marry. Okay, another kind you must not marry, the one who still adores his ex. Or her ex. I once had a relationship with Brother Peter. Brother Peter is so nice. Brother Peter will take me to Tantalizer. Brother Peter will take me to KFC. Brother Peter will take me to... We always go to Ventura to watch film. This, hey, Brother Peter is so nice. When he comes to our house, he brings nice things for the children. He does this, he does that. You are still talking about Brother Peter. Ah. And it is me, Brother James, that you are relating with now. It's because she still adores Brother Peter. And she compares you with Brother Peter, her ex. And the same goes with the female too. She compares with the male too. He compares you with her ex every time. The one that compares you with her ex, please don't go with that one. He is still adoring the ex. And if he's still adoring the ex in your relationship, he will yet adore that ex in your marriage. You, he will still adore him, him or her in your marriage. So don't go with the one that adores the ex. Let's run quickly. Our time is fast spent. The next one is the one that is without spiritual mentors. The one that is without spiritual mentors. Who needs spiritual mentor? There is no pastor that is mentoring him. There is no deacon that is mentoring him. There is no brother that is mentoring him. There is no sister in the church that is mentoring him. No spiritual mentor. No deaconess in the church that is mentoring her. There is no pastress that is mentoring her. There is no pastor that is mentoring her. She is born again. She speaks in tongues. She's a firebrand. But she's a principality on her own. And she lives her life on her own. He lives his life on his own. Such, if you go with them, if anything happens in marriage, and the pastor that you feel, it's my pastor and my mentor, I talk to him, and then you go and report. Pastor now calls him and says, hey, Brother Lagbaja, please, can you see me? And he gets to pastor's office, and pastor is not talking. He might give pastor honor and not talk, but Teba Dele, Ashifuen. There was one that my husband canceled the two of them together. And when they got home, just look at the sister and say, La Jie. That's a major in the sort of pastor Mokilode. I thought it was like, Chibi, she's your pastor. You married me from my church to your church. And he's your pastor. So I cannot report you to your pastor. He said, I'm not the type that you report to pastor. You see, the moment he is not the type that you report to pastor, you are in trouble. And how will you know them? You know them from the day that he comes to say, sis, I like you, and he's been calling you and testing you, and he's asking you to date him, and you've been on for like a month or two, and then you now told him, I'd like you to meet pastor. I said, there's no point missing pastor. Point. How many days have you been together that you are rushing to see pastor? Kinyonikama rushing over pastor on day one of our relationship. For pastor to know that pastor, me and this sister are rolo. It's true now. Because you don't know, maybe another brother there is looking at the sister. And that one will not go ahead of you to go and report to pastor. Shemomo Sheman Shetoman Rick called the patent. The first to come is the one that invented the thing. By Jackie brother, Kolo Shadu Edebe. Kolo Sofun pastor. Pastor Akoso Kwee. Hey, you see, his brother, can you call that as? That is on a lighter mood. But we are talking about the man that has no mentor. No spiritual mentor. That's the word. He might have mentors in every other thing. But a spiritual mentor. Because you see, your business mentor will not manage your home for you. Your academic mentor will not manage your home for you. Your professional mentor will not manage your home for you. The only mentor that will manage your home for you for success is your spiritual mentor. So you must have one. So, and if you happen to... you are looking at it with a brother, a sister, that does not have a spiritual mentor, look very well. That is not a kind to go with. The Lord will help us. The last kind that I will talk about, because our time is fast spent, is the kind that I call a stranger. The kind I call a stranger. Please, don't go with a stranger. How do I mean? A stranger is that one that you don't know. A stranger is that one that you just met. Maybe we met on Facebook. Or we met on Instagram. Or we met at a function. And looking, we like each other. And we started rolling. Don't rush into marriage with him or her. Stay long in relationship, in courtship, to get to know the brother or the sister very well. I have examples of this. One day, one sister came, cried, said, "This brother, And we called the brother, we spoke to the brother, and the brother had so many revelations to share, so many things to say. At the end of the day, "Brother, let's settle this so that you enjoy your home happily." Sister had to be more calm. And this brother said, "And he said, we want fair money." Kilo shele. Ejo kurin kokon so. Then I asked the sister, "Ejo no. Shomo church kono ni ni tele. Abimbo let's badiara yin." I was shocked. Then the sister said, she met him at a bus park. She was coming to Ibadan. I met the brother at a bus park. I said, "You met him at a bus park. And just like that, and you married him." "Yeah, she called Chipuni." And she said, "We had, but it's a very short one." I said, "That's the problem. Because when you stay long in courtship, there's nothing wrong in meeting a brother on Facebook. If Facebook, there's nothing wrong in meeting a sister on Instagram. There's nothing wrong in meeting him at the car park or anywhere. There's nothing wrong. But you need to stay long in courtship for you to know the brother very well. For you to know the sister very well. Do you know that even this sister that is sitting in front of you in church every Sunday is a stranger? This one that is in church with you every Sunday, that you see every Sunday, or that come up to take testimony, to lead prayers, is a stranger. Until you stay long with him or her in relationship, in courtship, that is where you get to know who he is or who she is. So, never marry a stranger. I recommend that you marry among your friends. I recommend that you observe a good period of courtship to know the man or woman you are in relationship with very well. It is true that some will hide their bad behaviors, but time will reveal it. You know, Yoruba people will say, "Finiwa, Uma Ruku, Smoshile, hide it too." It will find a way of escaping somewhere. And then, if you are the type that open your eyes very well, you will see the smoke and then you will know. I said there that let your courtship be real and let it address every issue of concern. Whatever you cannot change in the period of courtship, you may forever live with. Make your courtship accountable to your spiritual mentor. Spend good time to pray and ask God to reveal to you the man or woman you are about to say yes to during the days of your courting. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I hope I have been able to, you know, take some time that you must never marry. If we have the opportunity for questions, maybe we'll be able to look at some other ones. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan, every Sunday, Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.